So it's better to stay true to who you are, even if that means it takes a little longer, even if that means your version of success doesn't look just like somebody else's, because whatever success you have is going to be sweeter because it's yours.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities. Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, join me, your host, Junaid, as I sit down with an extraordinary guest, Lisa, to explore her captivating origin story. From a young performer charging neighborhood kids to watch her sing and dance to college dreams of becoming a rock star, life took unexpected turns. Lisa's encounter with the internet, the joy of motherhood, and a near-death experience led her to reevaluate her path and discover her true calling. Now a successful business strategist, Lisa shares her insights on finding your creative entrepreneurship sweet spot, embracing your unique wiring, and building a fulfilling and profitable business that aligns with your passions. Tune in to learn how to shine your light, impact lives, and create a thriving business that reflects your authentic self. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So let's take a walk through memory lane and rediscover your origin story. I know we're all superheroes in our own world and we all have our origin stories. Somebody said, hey, we're not superheroes. We don't need origin stories. I'm like, you're wrong, my friend. We are superheroes. So talk to us how you got started and we'll kick us off.
Sure. So I started when I was about 3 years old, believe it or not. I was the little kid in the neighborhood who would wrangle up the other neighborhood kids and charge them a nickel to watch me sing and dance. Anybody who'd pay me money to sing and dance, like that was what I would do. My dad used to say, always have a hustle, kid. And that was my thing. I was a performer from a very early age. And any opportunity I got to be on any kind of a stage, I would take it. I graduated from high school. Started college with this idea of I'm going to be a rock star and I'm going to take all the music classes and I'm just going to work this thing out. And then I discovered the internet and took a leave of absence from school. Basically, I quit college. My parents had a fit. I quit college. I moved to Utah, which wasn't quite California, but I was like, it's closer than Ohio. So sure. I went out there, spent a few years out there, had a child and decided doing this by myself was not a good idea. Came back to Michigan where I was born and raised and subsequently got married, had another child. And I'm like, ooh, what is that line that John Lennon used to say? Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. And that was me. So the whole idea of becoming a performing artist got tabled and I ended up studying business, marketing, and finishing up school with a child in tow to finish up my degree program. I ended up with a degree in music theory and a minor in vocal performance. So I did continue down that path, but my whole focus had shifted to got to have a day job, right? Got to have that plan B, that backup plan to support you. And that's where I learned financial planning. That's where I learned business strategy, marketing, all of those things. And then I was driving down the road on the way to my therapist, of all things. And my car, as I went to change lanes, started to spin wildly out of control. And I just threw my hands up in the air and I said, whatever happens, because I couldn't control the vehicle. I spun across three lanes of traffic and ended up with the back end of the car in the ditch just as a semi went whoosh, right past the front end of my car.
Wow.
Yeah, not a scratch on me. I got out of the car. The car looked fine. I started the car up. It drove great. I went on to my therapy appointment and I just sat with my therapist like, I'm shook. And she said to me, so what do you think this means? And I was like, if I'm not supposed to be dead right now, then this feels like it's an opportunity to start again, to have a fresh start. And so that started a journey for me to record 300 songs. And we're about halfway through that journey now. And along the way, I've continued to do the business development work that I started doing almost 30 years ago now, helping entrepreneurs build profitable, sustainable businesses, doing what they love in ways that work for how they're wired to work. And specifically for folks who know that they are called to be in the spotlight as the celebrity in their space, for lack of a better phrase, because they have something that is going to change the world, because they know that who they are and what they have to offer is meant to impact lives on a bigger scale. Yeah. And so that's the arc. And along the way, I've written a couple of best-selling business books. I've recorded three albums. I'm working on number four. Like, the creative process doesn't stop.
No.
It just gets tabled for a hot second. And along this journey, one of the things that I discovered, and I alluded to this a minute ago, is this unique wiring that we all have. I was at a point in my business where I could not figure out what my target market was. And I sat down with sticky notes and wrote down the name of every client that I had ever worked with and what it was that we worked on together. And I started putting them in piles. What did they have in common? Because one of my strengths is I'm a pattern finder. And so I start to recognize that 80 sticky notes becomes 10 piles, becomes 5 piles. And then I had ultimately 2 piles and a handful of stragglers that didn't really fit in either pile. And I was like, this is weird because I don't feel like I fit in either one of these piles either, if I was my own client. And the more I sat with it and the more I looked at it, the more I realized, Lisa, this isn't two camps. This is a spectrum. It's a spectrum of creative entrepreneurship. And so we developed the creative entrepreneur type assessment to help people see where they fall on this spectrum of creativity, because we're all creative.
Oh yeah.
Now, not every creative is an entrepreneur. But every entrepreneur is creative, and it's about finding how you're uniquely wired and building your business in ways that support you to be, do, have, and experience more of what you want and less of what you don't in ways that work for you. Yeah. And so we built out this assessment and have started taking clients through this, and it's been 6-7 years now. And the results have just been phenomenal, because now people can say, this is who I am. I don't have to try and be somebody that I'm not. I don't have to try and pigeonhole myself into a box. I was listening to your episode with Christine McAllister, and she was talking about, I don't like spreadsheets. And I'm like, no, you don't, because you're not wired that way. That's not your natural wiring. And when we can take ourselves away from doing the things and trying to be something that we're not and lean into who we really are, not only do we get to shine and feel more fulfilled, our right audience starts to show up. We become this lighthouse for them. And that's been my journey, is just becoming more me, modeling that for other people, and then helping those people model it for their audiences.
Wow. I love it. I think
it's that's a journey.
I think that's the journey. And we can literally wrap it up right here.
Lisa, and
thank
Z.
you so much. Right? I love it, because you went from knowing who you wanted to be, and then life happens, right? That's almost every other person who wants to be an entrepreneur, wants to do one thing or another based on what they're passionate about. But what really stuck out to me is that after going through so many different phases or chapters in your own life, right? It's literally those are different chapters, and you have to go through those journeys to come out in the end. This is who I am, right?
And the other thing that as you say that, these chapters make up the whole book, right? The book is not just one chapter. We are not just one chapter of our lives. Mm-hmm. That one chapter doesn't define our whole life either. It becomes a moment. It becomes a story. It becomes maybe a foundational facet, the jewel that is you, but it's not the whole jewel. Mm-mm. And I had a client the other day, we were having a conversation about what it means to be seen for who we really are. And in our context, we were talking about disability. And when you're disabled, people don't always see your disability and they go, you're smart, why can't you do it? And it's, I'm not a pie. You can't just slice off the smart part of me and expect it to handle stuff. I'm also a disabled person who has these things going on, and that's why I can't do that thing.
Right.
And so that message has been a reminder to me, and I've been telling everybody I've been talking to lately, you're not a pie. You can't just slice a piece of you off. You are the whole package, right? You're the whole jewel. And we have to allow ourselves to recognize that we are the sum total of our experiences, good, bad, and other. Yeah. And also, all of those things have helped us become who we are. And to feel bad about it or judge ourselves as being wrong or horrible or whatever for what has happened in our past doesn't allow us to see the gift of how that has made us the person that we are today.
Yeah. And sometimes you cannot see that by yourself.
Absolutely.
Right? It's impossible. Absolutely. You need people around you that say, hey, you're really good at that. You should do more of that. And then when you did the card sorting or putting down everybody on a sticky note and breaking, start grouping them.
Yeah.
That's an excellent exercise that anybody can pick up and do it, because raise your hand if you don't know who your target audience is. Everybody's going to raise their hand because nobody knows. You start with, hey, I'm my niche. I'm the only niche and I'm my own target audience. I got to find people like me. What are those things about me that I can find commonalities among other people? I'm a dad with four kids and I love cycling and I like beekeeping. There's a lot of things, and I'm sure I'll find other people that have similar activities they've done, but it doesn't mean that they want the same outcome as what I might need.
One of the things that I remind my clients all the time is, and I'm going to be real blunt here, if a grown-ass man can make a living unboxing action figures on YouTube, there's a market for what you have to offer. It's just about finding that market. And one of the things that becomes really valuable is to be able to be introspective and examine yourself, your journey, which is one of the reasons why I think that question is such a great opener for the show, because it helps us recognize what are the stopping points along the way? What are we doing and who are we serving along the way? Because here's the other thing about your niche. It's going to change.
Yes.
Because you change, right? I am not the same person I was 30 years ago when I started doing this stuff.
Yeah.
I now have two children, one of whom is grown, one of whom is almost grown. I've been married twice, right? I have moved many times. I have a whole different perspective on business development. There are things that I taught in my early days as a business coach that I would never teach now because my perspective on ethics has changed, right? And so we have to release our Vulcan death grip of control over trying to do everything right and trying to get everything perfectly right out of the gate and allow ourselves to experiment with, this is where I want to go for now. And I'm going to see how this pans out. And if this is great, we'll keep doing it. And if it doesn't, we're going to shift a little bit because I'm going to shift a little bit and I want to still be comfortable with who I am, what I'm doing, and how I'm showing up in the world.
I love that, Lisa. Thank you so much. And the more aware you are of how you're shifting and how you're changing and what you like and don't like, the more easier it will be for you to attract the people that resonate with you.
Yeah. And I think not only the more clarity you have, but the more willing you are to articulate that clarity. Because I can be very clear in who I am and what matters to me and what I stand for. But if I don't share that,
yeah.
from a place of authenticity and genuineness, then my right people are standing around in the wilderness in the dark, wondering where's that light that I need to yeah. move towards, instead of me showing up and sharing genuinely. And that light starts to flicker, and then it becomes a flame, and then it becomes a bonfire, and then people can see it for miles and they're drawn to you. And you don't have to do that push marketing.
Yeah.
You can attract people because they naturally resonate with what you're already sharing in the marketplace.
So key point to take away there is you got to share no matter what it is. You've yes. got to, you got to show up, right? These
yeah.
guest episodes that we're doing, it's enabling us to do exactly the same thing. I could be a guest on Lisa's show or Lisa's on my show. Mm-hmm. And the more you show up, the more people start noticing.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's the only way.
And sharing doesn't have to be the same for everybody, right? Sharing right. can look differently based on how you're wired. I have friends
yeah.
and colleagues who are very introverted, and the idea of getting in front of a video camera totally petrifies them. Cool. Put a blog up and write and yes. share what you're writing. And
yes.
good marketing done well is really just sharing what you're enthusiastic about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited that I get to do this thing. Hey, everybody, I'm going to be on this podcast. Hey, everybody, I'm going to do this. Hey, I could use your support with this. When you're sharing from a place of enthusiasm and excitement, nobody feels like they're being marketed to.
Yeah.
They feel like they want to get on board and they want to support and encourage that.
Yeah. That's so powerful. I love that, Lisa. Thank you. And the more I grow into being that person that you're talking about, because trust me, I was not that, right? Introverted, just loved to hang out behind the computer, designing, whatever. That was me. But over the years, I've broken out of that shell and I've found, I can say I've found my voice, but I'm still... It's still being defined. It's still something that I'm very proud of, that I'm able to take this journey and learn through it.
Yeah. And like your niche, your voice is never done. Like I tell people, websites are never done. There's always something else to do on a website. Your voice isn't done until the day you die, because mm-hmm. you're changing, you're learning, you're growing, you're experiencing, you've read a new book, you've met a new person. And all of those interactions and engagements chip a little bit more at the facets of the gem that is you. And so we don't get to see what that full gem looks like until your very last breath, because it's still going to be changing. And that's one thing that's really exciting about being human, but also being an entrepreneur, because we can change our minds at any time. If you are a micropreneur or a solopreneur, you are incredibly agile. And that is a marketplace advantage that big companies don't have. We can change our mind right now and decide we're going to do something completely different tomorrow, whereas another big company would have all of this overhaul they would have to do and all of these systems and processes and all this stuff that would have to change and go through a committee. We don't have that. We can be extremely agile, which means we can do more experimenting. We have lower risk on those kinds of things. And that's such an advantage for us.
Yeah.
If we're willing to let go of that Vulcan death grip of control and see what happens when we show up.
All right, guys, need to let go of that Vulcan death grip, because they do have very strong grips. I haven't seen the latest Star Wars movie, but sorry, wrong reference. Star Trek movie.
My husband loves both, so
yeah,
sometimes
yeah,
sometimes I mix them, and just to watch him get mad at me.
Like, Vulcans are not in Star Wars.
That's right.
But yes, I love that. I love the journey. I love the motivations, the inspirations that you've had over the years. And the other thing that really affects how we take life is the environments that we are in.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that throughout your life, you've been in different environments and different encouragements come from different people that you're around. So I'm sure there's been a lot of that too.
Yeah. So I was born and raised into a welfare family. So we didn't have money. It was a blended family. My father was significantly older than my mother, and I had two older brothers. We're all mixed race. So there were a lot of disadvantages just being born and growing up in a family that was built like mine was. And so from a very early age, I think I was about 10, there was a group from my hometown called Ready for the World. They had a number one hit that went big all over America. And I was like, nice. I want to be a rock star. And my parents were like, that's nice, sweetie, but you really need to have a fallback plan because not everybody can be a rock star. And I was like, okay. And so I did a whole lot of what I didn't want to do because I thought I had to. Mm-hmm. And I finished high school, went to college. I auditioned for a program and was told, only seniors and juniors get into this program and freshmen aren't allowed, but you can take this one class. And so I went into that class as the only female, the only person of color, the only freshman in a room full of male juniors and seniors. Mm-hmm. And I outperformed every single person in that class and they still told me I couldn't be in the program. Wow. And I left. I have had chronic level of impatience from the time I was little, because I knew, right? Like I had this wiring in me that was like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I know this is the direction I'm supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Why do all these walls keep coming up? Yeah. My grandmother was one of the few people who encouraged my desire to pursue music, because when she was in her 20s, she was a singer in a club. And that's how she met her husband, my mm-hmm. grandfather. And she had a regular gig singing at a nightclub in our hometown. And so she knew what was possible, didn't have to have the negative side effects of celebrity, but it also didn't mean I had to be the next Beyonce in order to have a successful career in music. And then she died. And it was like, now where is my support gonna come from, And you get into a marriage that isn't very supportive. And so you like try to figure it out. You put your head down and you're like, I'm just gonna compartmentalize.
Yeah.
And do my thing and just not tell him what's going on. And that becomes very isolating and that becomes very challenging. But here's the thing, and this is something that I'm going to paraphrase. Huey Lewis in the News is one of my favorite bands. Mm-hmm. And Huey Lewis said something in an interview once. He said, look, if you like anything other than music, go do that thing. But if you can't do anything else, then do it. And just go for it 100%. And when I heard that, I took it to mean, if there's something you can't not do, okay? It doesn't have to be music. Mm-hmm. For me, it's performing, whether it's music, coaching, speaking, being on a podcast. For me, it's being on a stage. Mm. If there's something that you can't not do, you can't avoid it because it's just going to keep coming back at you over and over again. So give it everything you've got.
Yeah.
And don't leave anything on the dance floor, so to speak. Give it everything you've got and set up your life so that you can. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Gilbert, in her book, Big Magic, she said for the first, I don't know, 5 or 10 years of writing, she had a day job as a waitress mm-hmm. and various other things because she didn't want to put the pressure on her creative work to be the thing that kept her fed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that's even powerful. After she had written several books that had done really well, she was still working a day job until Eat, Pray, Love became a big movie. And then she was like, okay, I think now I can just write. I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
So we have to do that. And I see a lot of people, myself included at one time, who see a side hustle or a day job as selling out or going halfway or whatever. And it's no, you have to do the thing that creates safety for you to be able to pursue the thing that you love relentlessly. That's a non-negotiable because otherwise you don't get to do the thing that you love. But don't let that other thing, that day job, that side hustle, whatever, become your plan A. And that's what had happened to me. I had let my plan B become my plan A, and I wasn't doing any of the things that I loved. And then I ended up spinning out of control on the freeway. So wake up call, don't wait for your wake up call. Do it now, do it now.
Sometimes I guess you do need a wake up call. It could be from your coach or it could be the universe telling you, wake up, what's going on? And it's so funny that you mentioned you spun out on the freeway, because I've done that too. I've had a spun out.
Oh my gosh.
Experience.
Oh my gosh.
It was like 5 a.m. in the morning. I didn't know anything. I was like, there's still cars coming. I'm like facing backwards and I see these cars coming and I guess they're slowing down. And then I ended up pulling to the side and then I saw this other car pulled up in front of me. So I rolled up to it. I'm like, hey, what's going on? I don't know. Some guy was spinning out on the road. Yeah, that was me. Are you okay?
Oh, goodness.
I don't know what happened after that. Maybe I did make a decision that changed for me going that early in the morning. Maybe I did. I need to circle back and see what that message was. But I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And most of us don't get a huge wake up call like that. Mm-hmm. And then when we do get that huge wake up call, it's the doctor with bad news or something like that. God, and it's like, when I'm working with my clients, I'm like, whatever we can do to keep you from having to have a wake up call like that, let's keep our focus there because your body, I have a friend who likes to say your body is like a smoke detector. Mm-hmm. It's constantly sending you signals. And when something's off, your body is going beep. And if you're paying attention, mm-hmm. you don't get to the point where you have to have this huge reality check. So if we can practice awareness now and pay attention now to what's going on with us and listen, that doesn't always mean we get to solve the problem. That doesn't always mean we get what we want the way that we want it. Mm-hmm. But if we don't even want it in the first place, we're denying ourselves and we're robbing ourselves of our truth.
Yeah, I love that. Dude, this has been a lot of fun talking with you, learning about your journey, the spin outs, the baby in tow.
Yes. Yes.
Going singing. So you've got a goal of, was it 300 or 600 songs?
300 songs.
300
songs. On 300
You're halfway
songs.
Through it.
About halfway, yeah.
Awesome. I love that. I'm going to share. I used to sing back in the days in a band.
Fun.
And then my brother was like, all right, step aside, old man. Take over. And this was like almost 10 years ago. But I still, every once in a while, I like to sing and I didn't like how my voice sounded back then, but eventually I got over it. And now I'm doing podcasts.
Yeah. And you've got a great podcast voice, that rich, warm. It's great.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I would never like to stop listening to that. Those comments, those boosting comments.
Yes. We all need those ego trips every now and again, for sure.
We do because that enables us to be true to ourselves, be true to our mission and keep moving forward and inspire other people to show, hey, this is possible. You can do it. Like you said earlier, if a grown man is getting paid on YouTube for unpackaging or unboxing toys, and why can't you?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Go find your toys. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, Lisa, and when we can come back, you can share 3 hacks to take away for the audience. And there's been so much value here. Thank you so much. We'll be right back, guys.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at Humble Zone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Welcome back, guys. We've been talking to Lisa Young, who is an amazing human being. She's got 300 songs that she's got a mission to record. She's already released 3 albums. There's more coming. And the links will be in the show notes for you to check out her music, her performances, and all that good stuff. But Lisa, before folks go and find your music, share the 3 hacks you've got for us.
So the first hack is a quote from Judy Garland. Always be a first-rate version of yourself instead of a second-rate version of somebody else. And by that, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's really easy, especially in the online world, to want to model, duplicate, clone what somebody else. I want a website just like that person's. I want to have a social media following just like that person's. Mm. But you're not that person. And yeah. You don't know what they did to get to where they are. And I've heard some horror stories in my almost 30 years online of people who have put second mortgages on their houses without telling their spouses, just some really out there stuff that people have done in order to get to whatever level of success you think they have. Mm-hmm. And then you find out it's just a house of cards. So it's better to stay true to who you are, even if that means it takes a little longer, even if that means your version of success doesn't look just like somebody else's, because mm-hmm. whatever success you have is going to be sweeter because it's yours. And that brings me to my second hack, which is leaning into how you're uniquely wired to work, right? When we can, and I alluded to this earlier, when you can continue to keep moving in towards who am I, what really matters to me, why am I doing what I'm doing, and stay true to that, you become this lighthouse for other people who want exactly what you have to offer. There are people in the world who are clamoring to be on a podcast just like this and to get the juicy information from a podcast just like this. And so the more you show up and the more you continue to let people know about it, the bigger that audience becomes of your right people. You don't have to go try and chase down somebody who's not your right person, because you are this lighthouse for them. And so that brings me to my third hack, which is your network is your net worth. And this is a lesson that has been a very hard lesson for me to learn. I am a fusion creative, which means I put my fingers in a lot of pies. I'm good at a lot of things, and asking for help is really challenging for me. And because of that, I've worked in a silo for most of the 30 years that I've been online, and I did not build the relationships. I did not do the networking and engaging and connecting with people to just build friendships and connections with people because I was too busy with my head down trying to get my stuff done. The problem with that is it only takes you so far, and you're gonna hit a wall where you can't carry all the things anymore.
Yeah.
And when you look around to see who can help you carry the load, ain't nobody gonna be there because you've been trying to do it all by yourself. So start now. Building your network. And that doesn't mean you have to be a smarmy networker pressing your business card into everybody's hands. Yeah. It means show up in spaces and identify people that you'd like to get to know better. Identify people that you'd like to have conversations with and see where the conversation takes you. This last couple of years, I was living in Mississippi during the pandemic. So there was nothing going on. And then there was really nothing going on in my little town. Yeah. And so I had to take to the interwebs and start using tools like Lunch Club or other online networking communities to start meeting people, not with the prospect of I'm going to make $1 million off of them, but just with the idea of I need to meet some people. I need to let people know I'm still alive. I want to make some new friends and see where those conversations take me. As an introvert, I have friends who are introverts. Maybe you can't do all of that. Okay, do what you can as you are able. I work with about 30% of my clients have disabilities, marginalizations, or other capacity constraints that don't allow them to work a 9-to-5 or put 50 hours a week into their business. Yeah. And so it becomes a question of where are you going to get the most bang for your resources? Where are you going to get the best return on investment for all of your resources, time, energy, money, effort, and attention? Let's focus there and do what you can as you are able. So there's a bonus hack for you.
I love it. Dude, those are freaking awesome. Network is your net worth, right? Because when you hit that wall, you need somebody else to help you jump over, and that's where the network shows up.
Yes.
I love every single one of these hacks. I'm going to have to write them down and put them on a poster, because reminders like these keep you on your toes and keep you moving forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Sure? Let's jump into our flash round of questions.
Ready.
Number one. Yes, you are. What is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
I really wish I had gotten more into brain science, and I know that's super nerdy, but just the idea of learning about how the brain works at a deeper level. There's something about that I'm still fascinated by, but I'm like, I ain't got the time now. So that's my answer.
There's a recommendation for you. Listen to the brain scientist episode on the Ron Burgundy show.
Okay.
That's a good one. It's just one episode. I think it's 20 minutes. Ron Burgundy half the time is making fun of the scientist, but then he shares some really good stuff.
Cool.
All right. Next question. What did you want to be when you were a child?
A rock star. I've wanted to be that since I was about 10 years old. It has not changed. I just have changed how I define rock star.
I love it. Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
This is so hard because there's lots of stuff that I like. Mm-hmm. My favorite movie, though, I think probably of all time, is Bradley Cooper's Limitless. I didn't think it would be, but it really has become this movie that I come back to over and over again. The idea of if you could just take a pill and have the ability to process things at a different capacity and really use your whole brain, what would you be capable of? I'm like, woo. And then the corresponding television show that didn't make it out of the first season, which is really sad. That's also one of my favorites. So yeah, really great premise.
Apparently that show had some limits.
Yes. Not everything is limitless.
The funding was not limitless.
Right.
We can make jokes all day long. All right, next question. What movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
If I got to play a character in a movie, that's hard. I'm gonna pitch my own book.
Okay.
The first book I wrote was called The Secret Watch. And I've had several interests in turning it into a movie, but it hasn't panned out yet. Mm-hmm. And if that book ever becomes a movie, I would want to play the role of Christina. She's the one who has to try and figure out how to solve the problems. And the story is semi-autobiographical based on some historical fiction. So that would be if I got my druthers, that would be my choice.
I think we can call upon some people to make that happen.
That'd be great.
I love it. All right, next question. Who is your favorite superhero?
So I have two answers for this, because I believe there are two different kinds of heroes, right? Mm-hmm. So in the strictest sense of a superhero, I would say Captain America. And the reason I choose Captain America is because he was, before he became Captain America, he was a creative artist. And I don't know a whole lot about the comic book, so I don't want to get too deep into it, but he was an artist, he was a sensitive soul, he was a poet, he was a creative, just like I am, and he believed in something bigger than himself. And it was that belief in something greater that they saw in him and decided, okay, you're going to become Captain America. So that's my superhero answer, but my action hero answer, because as much as I would love to believe I'm a superhero, I really believe I'm an action hero, because I don't have anything that's superhuman about me. I am a regular person like everybody else, but action heroes tend to get banged up and bloodied a little bit. Mm. And I've had my share of bangs and bruises over my lifetime. And so my favorite action hero is MacGyver, because can make something out of nothing. And a lot of times as a fusion creative, I feel like that's me. It's like, how do I pull all of these things that don't seem to make sense and put them together and turn it into something that's really going to help people? So those are my two answers.
Oh my God, I love that. MacGyver is one of my favorites as well. I watched the original series and then I watched the remakes as well. Mm-hmm. They both did pretty well.
Yeah.
All right, last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
if I was a board game. Ooh. I think I'm going to say Monopoly. Okay. Because in the board game Monopoly, you have the sum total of all of the cool and happening things of the world, right? Like you go all the way around this board, you've got getting paid, you've got going to jail. I haven't been to jail yet. Yeah, but you have all of these experiences that you get to try and savor, and you win some and you lose some, and it's really not a fun game to play by yourself. So that's why I would say Monopoly.
I love it. I love that answer and the detail that you went into. Where can my superpreneurs find you?
I'm on all the interwebs. You can find me on all of the socials at Lisa Robin Young. Robin has two B's, so make sure you do that. And then my website, I have a page that are set up just for your listeners. You can go to lisarobinyoung.com/hacksandhobbies. And that's all one word, one really long word. And they can learn more about me and see what I'm up to. And we can connect more from there.
I love it. Dude, that's awesome. Thank you, Lisa.
My pleasure.
Robin.
Thank you.
Young, for your time, your energy, the wisdom you've shared and the hacks, and we'll definitely catch you in the next episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.